Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin, and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia. It's another episode of Shirts and Skins After Dark. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the crap bag will be of Zay's choosing. At 12:30, it's the number 6 team in the Horns College Football Top 20, Southern Cal. And in mere minutes, Scott Frost makes an admission that sparks a fascinating conversation. And some of you people need a friendly PSA to stop driving like complete imbeciles. I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today is a guy who can talk hoops, sports, music, and a whole lot more. He pushes his pee all over B&E every morning, and he makes this show better a couple times per week. It is Isaiah Collier. What's up, Zay? How you doing?
What's poppin', Trey? Glad it's Friday, man.
I think we've got a good show on tap. And sitting across from me is not the Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. That's because Chad Hastings, I know you're going to be shocked by this, on vacation once again. I think this makes three straight weeks that he has been missing time. And of course, I'm kidding about that. He is one of the people around here, Zay, who truly earns his vacation. And he is actually to a point in his Horn life that he is taking less than some. Like one Bucky Godbolt, for instance. But
ooh,
you know what?
Wow.
I'm in that category, too.
Well, the man's had the vid. He has to get shagged for his rectum. Because, you know, he's at that age.
I'm wondering if that COVID bit was to try and get an extra day off heading into a weekend. If that was a three-day weekend bit. But we do give Bucky the benefit of the doubt because he was a little bit stopped up then. But Chad is out today. I know that he's going to a concert in Houston, Zay, because he's talked about it all week long. Now, I don't always pay close attention to the details that he's giving me with things. So it's a concert involving a bunch of badass 1980s bands, which is totally he and Wendy's shtick. And I always know in a situation like this that one of the bands is Def Leppard, without fail, because I think that's Wendy's favorite band. I mean, they've seen Def Leppard countless times. They've seen Def Leppard during their Vegas residency. It was the other bands that I was struggling with this morning, and I actually had to look them up because they're interchangeable. I mean, it could be a Bon Jovi, it could be a Warrant, there could be a Poison in there somewhere. But we do know the other three bands now, and I have to admit, as somebody who's not crazy about this genre, this looks like a badass bill. Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Man.
Like, I would go to that show just to see Joan Jett do I Love Rock and Roll. And there's going to be obvious people watching and other fun, funny moments happening throughout as well, though, too.
Yeah, it sounds like a rocking concert. I mean, Chad and his wife, Wendy, they do have good taste in music, and Chad does know his music. I test y'all every time I come on this show, and he usually gets about 90% right, and I've played all four of these bands on this show before, and he nails them all on the head. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that he's at this concert, and he took another day off.
Is there any one of those four that you would want to see more than the others?
Probably Motley Crue, just because Tommy okay. Lee just dropped a Johnson pick. I want to see how he reacts to that.
Oh, he just dropped it onto social media?
Yeah, he just dropped it on Instagram or something. And people were like, what are you doing, Tommy Lee? I don't know if he did it on accident. I don't know if he was hacked. But yeah, Tommy Lee just Brett Favre'd it on the gram or Twitter very recently.
Honest question here. Did he drop it or did it fall out on social media?
I didn't look at it. I didn't look at the pic. I looked at the headline. So I don't know exactly how he dropped it on social media.
That's as far as you needed to explore that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. I'm good on that. I've seen the tape.
So there have been some Tommy Lee documentary, I should say. There was also the Hulu series talking about the sex tape between he and Pam Anderson and how it got out there.
Still haven't watched that. My wife was like, you can watch it by yourself, but I'm like, I feel like you're going to want to watch this with me, so I've been waiting to see it.
I forget the comedian that said this line, but it is an all-time great line, so I apologize to Anonymous right now, but one of the best lines that I ever heard about that is somebody who did see it, and you know me, I'm not a big porn guy. That's you and Chad's weird
okay,
world.
Hold on. Hold on, man, because I'm not going to let you bash my man and I, especially when he's not here. We are just diverse. It's not like I just know everything about the world. Let's say that.
Every time you're watching one of those videos on PornTube, Pornhub, whatever
it's
called.
Don't act like you don't know what it's called.
I truly don't know what it's called. Pornhub. Thank you.
The Hub.
Do you actually make a mental note of how many other people have watched that video with that same intent too?
Why are we going that deep? Why am I thinking about other people? If I'm thinking about other people, then that's when I need to get checked for a shrink or whatnot. But no, we're not thinking about other people. You're in the moment.
I'm just saying that the ticker is right there, and it's hard not to be curious ticker? About how many people have seen this video. The ticker of how many people have viewed the video.
When you go
time.
On Amazon and you're trying to purchase something, don't you want to look at the reviews? And if it's reviewed a lot and people are saying positive things, aren't you going to want to go and see what the product is?
Are you a big Pornhub review guy? Like leaving them yourself?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Just making sure.
But those are some of the funniest comments that you'll ever see.
Actually, I bet that is gold. There could be a crap bag one day where you're just reading the reviews from whatever your favorite style is. I know Chad has his feet. You're probably like a big shoulders guy or something.
Look, I have seen Once Upon a Time in China once or twice of WWE legend.
Why would you even
China? I said shoulders. That's the first thing I think of.
Yeah, that's true.
Talk about shoulders.
Okay.
And she did her thing. She did her thing. Rest in peace. She did her thing. Great wrestling career. Great career after that.
One of the first memorable female wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely. Triple H did her wrong. Triple H drove her to that dark point.
Oh, really?
Oh, how yeah. So? They were together when they were doing their DX thing. They were together. He didn't really make it public, but outside of the ring, they were getting down. He saw Boss's daughter, said, if I get with Boss's daughter, maybe I can move up, which if you look at him now, I want to say he's like the chairman of WWE. He took Vince's spot.
He is.
So he's very strategic in his game, which I think that's his nickname, so pun intended. And the man, yeah, he just threw China to the side and said, okay, Stephanie, here you go. I felt really bad talking about this wrestling without Chad here, to be honest.
That's okay. Now's the perfect time to talk wrestling because he's not going to make us feel stupid
so
about
offended.
It. Here's the thing, though, Zay. Even without the perhaps bigger picture plan in place of hooking up with the boss's daughter and eventually taking over the WWE, I think under normal circumstances, he's probably mopedding China, right? Like, fun to ride around with, but embarrassed to actually be seen with in public, other during wrestling characters.
China was in Playboy like 2 times. China did her thing.
China looked like a dude.
Come on, man. No way.
What are we talking about here? Like, I'm sorry, like, rest in peace. I'm sorry their life took a turn, but I'm just trying to be honest with you.
I ain't gonna let you bash China like that. Yes, she was swole, but she was a beautiful woman. I'm telling, ask Hef. Another rest in peace, even though he was a little slimy too. But still, 2 Playboy spreads. A lot of women haven't been on Playboy. A lot of women ain't confident enough to be on Playboy like China did. China was out here, trendsetter, bodybuilder, turned sex symbol. Come on now.
I'm giving China more credit than I am that old creep Hugh Hefner. Let's just make one thing clear right now. Hef may have had his moment where he was a decent dude. He got too deep into that game. You don't surround yourself with like 4 hot blonde women who are a half century younger than you if you're not a super creep. And he was a super creep by the end.
Yeah, Hef was wildin'. He was wildin'.
Joe Rogan had a bit about this, like back in the 1990s about Hef. Hef popping Viagras like they're Skittles or something just to try and keep the facade up that he's actually interested in sex to the degree that he is. Because he had that character that he had to play full time. It was a 365-day-a-year gig.
Yo, I watched that show that he had on E! With the three blonde bimbos, and, you know, he would just come around, and they would just be basically nude the whole entire show,
right,
which I watched it for obvious reasons, and Hef would just come around in the robe, and back then, you didn't know that he was on that creep stuff. You just thought he was a player. You're like, oh, man, this man Hef, he's an OG with it, and now with all the stuff coming out about him, all those documentaries you see on TNT,
yeah,
where the women are just bashing him and stuff, you're like, oh, damn.
Oh, has it actually started becoming public now?
Yes.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, yeah, there's a TNT documentary or something like that. I don't know if it's TNT for sure. I know TNT dropped the one with the guy on Girls Gone Wild, the guy who created that.
I just saw one on him also through, I want to say, HBO Max. Now, that guy, God, he deserves to burn in hell.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people whose documentaries are coming out now where it's just like, you were just scum of the earth. There is no redeemable quality about you. Hugh Hefner probably had some redeemable qualities. He just turned into a creepy old guy by the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Because at one point, it was kind of like, oh, you're putting on for women. You're in a way, empowering women. But with the stuff that he was doing on the side, behind the scenes, we're like, oh, nah, you were just on that creep stuff.
So I need to talk a little bit to folks driving around out there right now. Now, pay attention to what's going on in front of you and around you. We want to make sure you're staying in your lane. You're not getting into another lane when another car is occupying that space. But I think that some folks need a reminder for the proper method for merging onto a highway and allowing merging onto a highway as well. It's very easy to explain to people, Zay. It's the zipper method. You have a car, you have cars on each side. It's one car space so the other car can get over or get off if need be. And then the next car that was already in that lane continues driving at a normal pace. And there's a certain unwritten rule with all of this that if you're the merging car, you are getting up to the speed of traffic. And if you are the car that's already on the highway, you are allowing the proper space to let that person get on. They're just trying to use the same roadway that you are, right?
Yeah.
So
Common courtesy.
Common courtesy. That's a good term for it. Well, over the last 2 days, I have had two different examples of people who are trying to rub me out when I'm getting on the highway. I am not somebody who's slow footing it. I am getting up to the speed of traffic. And these people were literally speeding up. There was initially room, speeding up because they see me getting on to try and keep me from getting all the way on the highway, to force me to slow down and maybe screw over the person behind them versus staying at that proper speed. So for those of you out there who are doing that right now, I'm going to fall a little bit short of telling you to die, but please, be a little bit more courteous on the road. It's ridiculous. I mean, there are so many unnecessary things that can happen right there, especially if the person getting on is not paying attention, that you're causing a massive accident to numerous people and taking an unnecessary risk on top of being a world-class a-hole.
So are you talking about, because we both go the same way to gear, you're talking about 183. Is this when this happened to you?
So yesterday it was on Mopac.
Oh, okay.
Actually, both times it was on Mopac.
All right.
Both times it was on Mopac. One time going north, one time going south.
Okay, because they're doing something weird with 183 where it's like curving and stuff. And, you know, it's if you're not on alert, then you might, you know, run into somebody if you're not on your P's and Q's.
183 is a mess right now because they're putting one of those toll lanes in. One of those center toll lanes in on both sides.
Oh.
So, yeah, it is a nightmare going all the way up into Cedar Park. It literally starts where the toll road begins. So yeah, that's its own set of issues. And like the soft curve where Duval is, that especially going southbound, everybody slows up there, just turns into a traffic jam. Because for whatever reason, this is the case, by the way, when I've driven in Chicago, Drink Up, Dallas, Houston, there are just soft curves on major roadways that for whatever reason force people to slam their brakes on. And so then it just turns into a backup so everybody can safely make it around that soft curve. But it's not 183 though, it's Mopac. And I feel like if we're like ranking roads in terms of the added hostilities, like 35 is obviously first. Mopac's a pretty close second though, considering that it doesn't have that idiotic split. Like Mopac is just, it's ripe for frustrations for some reason.
Huh. See, I don't drive Mopac like I used to. The only time I drove Mopac is when I was coming into work, but then I wouldn't even drive it much there at all. So I was always going 183, or somehow I would go through South Lamar or something like that, or I just find my way around the ATX. But yeah, it could get frustrating here, man. It does. People can't drive in Texas, let alone in Austin.
Yeah, and Austin is a melting pot of bad driving styles from all over the country, too. So it's everybody bringing their bad habits from one place or another. In Oregon, for instance, the bad habit is driving slow in the left lane. In Chicago, you treat a red light, like your light cycle turning red, as an extra couple of seconds to make that left-hand turn. But those are the ways that you just kind of have to get around in Chicago, unfortunately. So, yeah, all of those now exist in Austin. So best of luck with everybody driving around today, especially with the rain last night and this morning, making things a little bit slick. Do stay tuned to the horn the rest of the afternoon, though, please. Getting to the sports world now, Zay. Scott Frost decided to say something that has him maybe in a bit of hot water right now. As Chad likes to say, he said the quiet part out loud. Scott Frost was discussing how the Huskers offseason has gone during his monthly radio show on Huskers Radio Network last night. And one of the things that the 47-year-old coach mentioned is how intense offensive line coach Donovan Raiola has made practices for his position group. Now, Dominic Raiola was an All-American at Nebraska, played a number of years in the NFL as well, and so you think he knows a thing or two about how to get guys to play to the best of their abilities. Frost estimates that there are 15 to 20 times during practice where an offensive lineman loses his lunch. Quote, "It's not because they're not in shape, he's just working them hard. I think they love it. He's kind of freed them up to be aggressive, and I love the way they're coming off the ball."
Huh.
So this is obviously something that falls into that old school mentality of how you train for something, right?
Either that or we need to fire our head chef for the athletic department.
That's not as common, but that's also in the realm of possibilities too. I will give you that one. But this is in that category of like how much water you allow somebody to have during practice, or just how angry or how at times, let's be honest, physical you can get with your players to try and get them to do what you want or to try and push them to succeed, let's say. So for you as a guy who kind of grew up in that era, as did you ever puke in basketball practice?
Yeah, once or twice, but I don't think that was due to how hard I was being worked. I think that was just due to me not feeling that good that day, or me eating something
right before practice starts. Yeah.
Yeah. Just me being naive and me being young and thinking I could eat anything and running out on the court and then, you know, having to run over to the trash can. But
so you're saying it's not 15 to 20 times per practice?
Hell no.
Or let's say for one person once per practice. It's very erratic.
No. We should be concerned, especially in a time where it's so hot out here all over the U.S., hell, all over the nation. It's ridiculously hot, like one of the worst summers ever. So if we're working guys too hard to a point where it becomes unhealthy, then, again, we look at Frost, like, I'm concerned, like, hey, we should tone it down. This isn't healthy for our players. This isn't good for the long run. I know you want to be tough. This doesn't sound cool. Like, I'm not listening to, like, oh, man, what a badass coach. I would want my kid to play for him once he becomes a college player. No, hell no. Sounds nuts. Sounds like a nut job.
Yeah, that's your body telling you that it is at a breaking point. And by the way, as some have pointed out on Twitter, that has been an early warning sign of something much more serious like dehydration that is coming down the pipe. And if it gets to the point where it's that bad, where all of a sudden you're passing out and maybe seizing up or having to have somebody run and grab ice to try and cool your body down, it's a completely different degree of irresponsibility. But you're already starting to head down that road by having it happen to guys this much.
Yeah, I feel like he'll be dropping an apology very soon, or he'll be trying to cover his tracks by saying, oh, I was just speaking tongue in cheek, or we're just talking about how hard they're working. It might have happened once or twice. It's not happening all the time. I don't know, but you can't do stuff like that. You know, you couldn't do it back then, and it was acceptable, but you damn sure can't do it now, especially with cameras and social media and stuff, and the way that we've came with our health and how we look at it. Nah, then homie's in the wrong.
I'll be interested to see how Nebraska handles this, because obviously Frost and Rayola are both legendary figures in the Nebraska football community, so they're probably cut more slack than others. So do Nebraska fans look at this as this is kind of what these guys, they went through a version of this back during a time where this program was much more successful, so we need to be accepting while also while also paying close attention and understanding that if what they're doing right now doesn't work during the season, then this is going to be it for Scott Frost. But can this lead to greater successes? By the way, they just named Casey Thompson the starting quarterback. That happened in the last couple of days. Congrats to Casey Thompson. I think the assumption was that he was going to start there, but it'll be interesting to see what he does with that Scott Frost offense. So are Nebraska people in wait-and-see mode essentially saying to themselves, well, if it works, he gets cut slack at the end of the season. If it doesn't work, though, and it's the same crappy product that we've seen for the last few years since he's been here, then he's gone. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I feel like Frost might be thinking, okay, since these people love me already, there's not much bad I could do. So in that case, I'm going to do what I want, and hey, y'all have to deal with it.
Wow. Well, it looks like we have a little bit of breaking news to bring the people right up on the commercial break. So we'll tell you about it right here. I'm not going to be cruel like that. We'll tell you about it right here, but then we're going to talk about it after this commercial break to go along with our Horn College Football Top 20 presented by Allstat Beer. Number 16, the USC Trojans. But it looks like, and thank you to Jeff Howe for cluing us in on this one, that according to multiple reports now, Quinn Ewers is the starting quarterback for the Texas Longhorns. And John Bianco, the communications liaison for Texas football, just told reporters that in an availability.
Wow.
So Quinn Ewers, the starting quarterback for Texas for game one. Let's talk about that on the other side. You're listening to Shirts and Skins. Zay hanging out a little bit more than usual today. That's because Chad Hastings is on vacation. We'll talk more about it coming up next here on The Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Okay, here we go. Back here on Shirts and Skins. Chad Hastings on vacation. Isaiah Collier behind the glass, which means the first music that he plays, other than the intro music in the 12 o'clock hour, is something alt-rock related. Turn this up, please, Zay. I'm close. I may be wrong about this one, but Better Than Ezra?
There it is!
Oh, wow. This is not one of their most popular songs, either. This is a good find by you. Better Than Ezra. Boy, that does take it back. How familiar are you with Better Than Ezra?
Not at all.
You're probably okay there. I mean, there are a couple of songs that were good. This is maybe a little bit of an underrated band during that time, because they didn't have as grungy a sound. They were a little bit more upbeat, even if their lyrics were sometimes melancholy.
Now, what time was this? What era?
Mid-90s.
Mid-90s, okay.
Yeah, the Nirvana, Pearl Jam era.
Classic era.
Yeah, it was a classic era. I agree. All right, we need to get to the breaking news that just came out. Again, if you missed it, on the other side of the commercial break, it looks like Quinn Ewers is the starting quarterback for the Texas Longhorns. Multiple reports discussing that a little bit earlier, and it was just confirmed by Texas. So, Zay, here we are. The guy that I think a lot of Longhorn fans were rooting to win this job. He does take the job, but it's not being done in an as authoritative manner as you would hope for a kid that has the potential that Quinn Ewers does. But there was always going to be a little bit of growing on the job for him if he won it.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a cat that hasn't played football since his junior year. Went to Ohio State, didn't play at all, came back to Texas, so he's basically a freshman. And I think it's good. I think throwing him in the fire right away is perfect. I think people look at that Alabama game and said, oh, he ain't going to be ready for that. Well, oh well, a lot of people aren't going to be ready for that game. They're the best team in the nation, and they got probably one of the best rosters that Nick Saban's ever have. So bag that game. Don't worry about that. Let's talk about the Big 12. And I think he needs all the reps he could get, so when the Big 12 starts, he'll be ready for that, and then he'll be able to – find his rhythm in the game that's way faster than he's ever seen. So the fact that he beat out Hudson Card, you got to give, you know, tip your cap to him, because I know that was a tough battle, especially with a guy coming back like Hudson Card. He ain't no punk. I know he might not be what we thought he was going to be coming out of Lake Travis, but still, he could still spin it pretty good. But Quinn Ewers, when you get Aaron Rodgers comparisons, it's hard not to make that guy QB1.
Thinking about Hudson Card, I would not be surprised at all if he ends up getting a chance this season if he doesn't maximize on that opportunity. Because he's done that earlier in his career, too. And as you just said, he's no slouch at the position.
Yeah. And I don't know where he's at with his degree, but people are talking about, well, he's probably entered the transfer portal. I don't think that's going to be the case for him. You know, again, with him being a Lake Travis kid and him being so close to the University of Texas growing up here, him getting his degree here, I think, means a lot to him. So I think he's going to stick it out to whenever that is, and then, you know, see what happens in the future, because we know who's coming in next year. So I like it. I do think Quinn Ewers needs as many reps as possible till the Big 12 starts. And I think he needs to form some type of chemistry with these wide receivers, especially these new guys who are put in different positions since Isaiah Nehor just got hurt.
Yeah, it's been a week of bad news for this program, and a week that really felt like a gut punch. Like, you hear that term thrown around all the time. That's what Sunday felt like for me when I saw that both of those guys were likely out for the year. And also, you start getting reports, or more reports, I guess, that neither quarterback was standing out because they were doing that well. So it's like, man, this is not trending in a good direction in the season of optimism. This is, I think, a shot of good news for people who, not to say that they're going to root any less for the Longhorns with Hudson Card in there at quarterback. They're obviously rooting for the guy who is responsible at that most important position, but fans have been enamored with Quinn Ewers going back to his high school days, but obviously since he announced his intention to transfer to Austin to play for UT, the buzz has been palpable all over town. I mean, it's Bijan Robinson and it's Quinn Ewers. Those are the two guys that you hear about far and away more than anybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in this offense that Steve Sarkisian is throwing out there, I think Quinn Ewers is best fit for it with the multiple ways that he could throw, especially with getting guys that can catch it and run it. I think Quinn has a better arm with, you know, that ability than Hudson does. And then I just think that, you know, he just has a certain swagger about him that I think the team gravitates towards. Like, I remember, you know, right when he got on campus, Keelan Robinson made a post that, like, they were relating to some rap song that I've never heard of because I've become too old to listen to some of these young cats, which is crazy to me. But Quinn Ewers was rapping the verse by verse, and then it was like, man, he just got on campus and he's already just relatable to some of the offensive guys, and he hasn't been here for, what, 2 weeks. So just that type of thing. I think he has his grasp on the whole locker room. And, you know, I just think this is a great decision by this coaching staff.
Yeah, natural born leader, it feels like, for sure. And also a guy, as Steve Sarkisian talked about going back to Big 12 media days, that if you feel like you have your starter, he needs to get all the ones, all the run with the ones, all the reps with the ones. That is obviously the case for this next scrimmage happening on Saturday, but then going forward for the next 2 weeks leading up to that Louisiana Monroe matchup.
Yeah. And, you know, Louisiana Monroe, yes, you have to focus on that, but we know what's coming in the following week. And like you said, you got to get as many reps as possible
because it's going to get real. It's going to get real, real quick. And, you know, he's going to have his slumps. He's going to have his throws where we're like, man, what the hell was that? But I'd rather have him, like you hear, you know, all the sources and all these guys talk about, you know, how he's been in practice compared to Hudson Card and how Quinn's made, you know, maybe more mistakes, but it's like taking chances mistakes, you know, maybe making throws that even some guys can't even make because they don't have the arm to make. You know, even if it might be a bad throw, he has the ability to throw it in that area. It's just picking and choosing your spots. So I'd rather have a guy be aggressive and make mistakes early on than somebody that's going to dink and dunk and, you know, might have happy feet in the pocket.
Yeah, he may have wow moments both ways. And by the way, he may also be one of those guys who, when the lights turn on or where the lights shine the brightest, that's when he steps his game up the most. Like, we've seen a little bit of that with Hudson Card. We saw pressure situations with him that he didn't always handle well. Now, part of that was on the team around him, too, for sure. There's no doubt about that. But we saw what happened in the Arkansas game when he was dealing with pressure, and it's something that affected him for pretty much the rest of the season. He had happy feet the rest of the way. So if you feel like it's pretty even, maybe you do go with that guy that has a little bit more potential of the heights that he might help you achieve if he is the best version of himself.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with it. I'm with the decision. I'm with it coming now so you have time to prepare and have everybody settle in. And, you know, Quinn could be like, okay, I don't have to worry about somebody coming after my spot. I could just focus on the playbook, focus on this game film, and then focus on being the best quarterback that I could be. And for a freshman that hasn't played in a long time, you know, he needs all the confidence that he could get. And Steve Sarkisian, being a former quarterback, he gets those types of things. So, yeah, this was a good look and way better than how it went last year where we didn't even know until week till.
Yeah, well, we didn't even know until, what was it, game week, and then it changed again in week two. Yeah, it was, or you said week till, and you didn't say week two. Yeah, so we knew week till, and then we had that whole thing reset in week two as well.
Yeah,
so
blew up.
Just blew up. All right, so we will continue discussing that all throughout today's show. Obviously, he is Isaiah Collier. I am Trey Elling. And right now, because it is just after 12:30, it is time for the Horns College Football Top 20.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 6, the USC Trojans.
This is a top fiver in terms of fight songs, Zay. USC Trojans are number 6 team and perhaps slightly overcooked, but they are in a trio of squads in that Pac-12 that you feel like will not only compete for a conference title, but may have an opportunity, an outside opportunity at sneaking into one of those 4 college football playoff spots.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't count out Lincoln Riley. Thank goodness he took this job, so we don't got to worry about this fool no more in the Cotton Bowl. But, yeah, one of the best offensive minds, you know, him and Caleb Williams, they clearly have a good chemistry. And Caleb Williams, the stats that he put up last year, not playing the full season, 21 touchdowns, just 4 picks, almost 2,000 yards throwing, 442 yards running, 6 touchdowns. Like, man put up numbers, which that's why people, you know, consider him the third best quarterback in, you know, all of the nation after C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. So, you know, clearly they got the Biletnikoff winner, Jordan Addison, juggernaut there. It's just about their defense.
Defense is going to be a big question mark. Alex Grinch, obviously made a big impact in year one with Oklahoma. Can he do something similar with a good slate of athletes on that roster? Because USC, a lot like Texas, it's not like the talent is ever completely depleted. But, yeah, the defense was a big issue for them last year. Lincoln Riley, by the way, you got to give him huge credit for what he did in the transfer portal. You mentioned maybe the two most important guys, his quarterback from Oklahoma, and then also Jordan Addison from Pitt, the Biletnikoff, reigning Biletnikoff champ, if you will. But Travis Dye is no slouch. He is a stud running back who had played the previous couple of years with Oregon. And then also offensive lineman Andrew Voorhees, too. So
is Oregon on their schedule?
Oregon is, you know what, check that right now because I don't have the schedule in front of me. If it is, that will add that much more intrigue to that game. And Oregon is the other team that you think can maybe get it done in the Pac-12. And then Utah as well. And USC and Utah, they do play. That game is in mid-October, I want to say. That'll be one to really keep an eye on. But also just watch it, the potential explosiveness for this USC offense. Obviously, Lincoln Riley calling plays is a big deal. His quarterback being completely comfortable with things is too. Jordan Addison, if you haven't seen him play yet, maybe you watched highlights here and there because he was at Pitt last year, get ready. This dude is as advertised. And Dye is a home run back if there ever was one. And he's also really good at catching the ball out of the backfield too, say.
Yeah, they don't play Oregon. They might have to face them in the Pac-12 championship, but I'm with you. I'm still salty that Jordan Addison didn't come to the 40 acre, especially now with how the wide receiver situation is looking. But, you know, defense, they got my guy from LBJ, shout out Flex ATX, Latrell McCutcheon,
all right,
who I can root for now because he's not at Oklahoma. He went with Lincoln Riley to USC, and, you know, Latrell was doing a lot of horns down when he was here in the ATX at LBJ before going to Oklahoma, so I was like, ah, Latrell, come on, dog. So now he's at USC. We could definitely rock with him. Shout out to Latrell McCutcheon, LBJ product, Flex ATX.
Mario Williams, another OU guy who came over with Lincoln to USC, the diminutive but talented wideout. I think he may have been a true freshman last year, but really still turned some heads. And the defense also is going to be reliant on junior defensive lineman Tuli Tuipulotu. Tell me if you've heard a name like that on the USC roster before, just purging the
Definitely.
Hawaiian and Samoan ranks. And he is a big-bodied guy who was a first-team All-Pac-12 defender last year. Does a really good job in the middle of creating organic pressure by himself. 6'4", 290, 7.5 tackles for a loss last year, a team-high 5.5 sacks, too. Alex Grinch, who obviously loves moving those defensive lines around, having them shifting just before snap. Watch Tuli and how much he is going to benefit that much more from that sort of defense.
Yeah, their biggest game of the year is October 15th at Utah. I think that'll probably be the deciding game of they're not doing the North and South this year, are they? Or I feel like they're just doing the best winning percentage. My homie E. Hogan talked about that on B&E this week, I want to say. But, yeah, they got them the 15th, and then they have Notre Dame the 26th. So other than that, they should win out. They should beat Arizona, Cal, Colorado, UCLA, Chip Kelly and them. They should win all of those games. They just got to worry about Utah and Notre Dame.
Now, do they get a bye between those two games?
Yes. Okay. After Utah, they get a bye.
That's a well-timed bye there for them. Arguably, they're their toughest two-game stretch of the year to get that break in between is a big deal. I am not seeing Pac-12 championship game, whether they made that move this year or whether they're making it next year. They may have been in that group of schools that is like, oh, yeah, we're done with it all together then. Actually, I'm pretty sure now that's the case because you know how I feel about the Pac-12. I hate the Pac-12. I was hoping that would blow up in their face. And the team that wins that championship game amongst the two best knocks the other one out of contention. Yes, I'm petty. I get it. This is Shirts and Skins. Chad Hastings on vacation. He is Isaiah Collier. I am Trey Elling. Coming up next, Chad's gone. The crap back continues on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
So I was on the verge of clowning this song when it first started, but this is a badass tune. I have no idea who it is. It sounds a little bit like Billy Joel, but it's not Billy Joel. I'm probably just being fooled by the piano. Who is this, eh?
Steely Dan.
Wow. One of Craig's favorites. This is a great tune right here.
Haitian divorce. That's why you hear that.
Haitian divorce.
Yeah, that's why you hear that. Rasta.
Yeah, it does have, yeah, like a white guy's Rasta.
There's a little soul in here.
You don't have to go crazy with it, you know?
There's enough soul.
And Zay doing a great job playing music as always, and you will continue to hear from him throughout the rest of the show because I have no co-host. Decided to go solo, including Zay, and also playing you a little bit of a conversation that I had with legendary race car driver and legendary former pot smuggler, Randy Lanier. This guy, if you're unfamiliar, back in the 1980s, was living a real-life Miami Vice lifestyle. Literally one of the biggest pot traffickers in U.S. history. At the same time, he was making a name for himself in the world of auto racing, eventually competing in and getting 10th place in the Indianapolis 500 as a rookie, setting a rookie lap record in practice. All the while, he was about to go down for drugs. Life sentence, ends up getting out of that, surprisingly, a little bit less than 10 years ago. It is a crazy story, and I will bring part of the conversation for you coming up at 1 o'clock and also part 2 at 2 o'clock. Right now, though, it is time for the Crap Bag.
Chad's Crap Bag.
Crap Bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Crap Bag brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com, 255-8678. Zay, what's in today's Crap Bag?
All right, Trey. Well, Jay Cutler. Remember that guy? You know?
Smoking Jay.
Smoking Jay. Yeah, he was a household name in Chi-Town. Retired pretty early. Probably had some more years left in him, but a lot of people thought mentally, Jay wasn't all there. If you remember that playoff game where he was sulking on the bench and stuff, and he got that reputation that he doesn't give a damn.
All-time great pout face, and let me tell you, I was in Chi when he was the Bears quarterback. It was all warranted, too. That guy's demeanor completely sucked, and there were stories about him around town, too. That's not to say he hasn't turned into a cooler dude once the playing career was over with. There were stories of him being a world-class a-hole in Chicago, too.
Tell a quick story. It might reflect on the Crap Back today.
So the one story that's coming to mind, and by the way, I don't completely fault him for this, but it's just the way that he has apparently responded or the way that it's framed that he responded. So some dude goes into a bathroom at a restaurant, and Jay Cutler's at the same restaurant, pulls up at the urinal right next to Jay Cutler, and he's like, "Oh, Jay, like, I love you as a Bear, love you as a Chicago Bears quarterback," or whatever. By the way, you've just broken a rule right there. You don't start random conversations at the urinal.
That's a no.
Have more common sense than that.
Yeah.
But Jay Cutler's response is to look up and just say, "Oh my God, I don't care." Now, the guy was trying to compliment him, even though it is a major courtesy no-no that he has committed there. You still try and be a little bit more gracious in a situation like that, but he was smoking Jay Cutler. He didn't give an F.
No. I feel him for that. You don't do anything. We're on the urinal, man. Take care of business. Get out of here. Wash your hands. Maybe ask for an autograph a little bit after we leave the restroom, but we're in the restroom. It's a take care of business.
Yeah, I always thought it was funny that the Chicago Bears had to make Cutler the highest paid NFL player one year, and then he went on to lead the league in turnovers that year. It was so fitting. It's like, I can't believe you trusted that guy to be the franchise quarterback. It's clear he's not. Even if he has all the measurables and occasionally gives you a good moment, you need your quarterback to maybe not to be totally likable, but a little bit more likable than that.
Yeah, he seemed way more likable in Denver. Like, I thought, okay, this guy, I would put him at Denver the way we kind of look at Justin Herbert now. Like, that's the kind of upside that he had.
That's an interesting comparison.
Where he was going, you know, like, oh, this guy, he could be something special, but then he clearly wasn't the best in the locker room. So,
and that was he and Josh McDaniels, too, by the way. So the two peas in a pod, if you ask me. Anyhow, get on to the Jay Cutler story, please.
So Jay Cutler went on Sophia F's podcast, which I think I know who that is. But anyway, went on their podcast, and she asked him questions about his ex-wife, Christian Cavallari. You know who that is?
I do know who that is. Yeah, she was on The Real OC. She was a hottie.
Laguna Beach.
Laguna
Beach, The Hills.
Yeah.
Classic show, especially for a young teenage boy like myself. So she basically, Cavallari, through their divorce, basically said Jake was cheating, or Jay was cheating. You know,
and then he was also a lazy bum, too, I think.
Yeah, he just wasn't the best. Like, they had a show together, and he hated the show and pretended that everything was fine, and that things got dark once they went off camera, where Jay was like, no, you know, I'm not going to bash her. We got three kids together. You know, I'm very happy with the way I am now. I'm a changed man. That's what she wants to think. That's her point of view. So
that's what Jay Cutler said on the podcast.
That's what Jay Cutler said.
Ah.
So I ask you, who do you believe here? Jay Cutler or Christian Cavallari?
You know what? I'm inclined to believe Jay Cutler. Cavallari's the reality show whore.
Hey.
She is.
She's dramatic.
What are reality shows all about? Trumping up the drama.
Yeah.
So she may be doing that right now. Is she on a reality show currently?
I don't think so.
Well, she may be setting the next one up then.
Yeah.
That's just my gut read on it, ultimately.
She's been in the game for 20 years, reality TV. And it wasn't like she was the nicest person when she was on Laguna Beach / The Hills.
Yeah.
Like, I watched those shows. She was not nice. She was bad. She was bad. But she wasn't the nicest person.
And I'm guessing she's obvious. She's also still trying to live that lavish lifestyle. And oh, by the way, Jay Cutler's not earning an NFL paycheck anymore. So she's got to set up her next deal now, too. Because she's at a point where her earnings potential is greater than his. She has no problem just dragging him through the mud in the process. Apparently, Jay Cutler has, like, really calmed down in the last few years and has shown a remorse and become a more humble dude. Maybe not the Jake Plummer level of humble, but it does sound like he has become less of a D-bag.
I don't know if I'll go that far, but he's trying. He's trying. He just still has that face. Like, I was watching the interview, and he just still has that, oh, you're so full of it look. Like, oh, you were probably, each city that you were in, you were probably banging chicks out the yin-yang. And, hey, now they're divorced. I hope she's happy. I hope he's happy. I hope the kids are happy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can almost guarantee you the kids aren't happy.
Oh, my God.
I mean, their parents are Jay Cutler and Tristan Cavallari. Are you kidding me?
Oh, man. Hey, one of those kids could have a rocket arm. You never know that. Genetics, man. We're seeing it for ourselves.
That's Cavallari's hope. You know he's going to have a well-paid-for huddle highlight film if that happens. All right, he is Isaiah Collier. Thank you for the crap back today, Zay. Coming up next, it is part one of my chat with former auto racer and pot smuggler Randy Lanier about his excellent new book, Survival of the Fastest. This is Shirts and Skins. Chad Hastings on vacation on the Horn.